If you don't have your picture, your official picture, and you want it, you can go to the... can you raise your hand now, please? If you want more, one? What is your name? Sapa? Sapa Sanai is here. Okay. If you don't have any, please raise your hand now. One, two, three, four. Okay, four or five. Yeah. The third announcement is very important, and Jamshid wants to know before this evening. That is about your departure from here on Sunday. So he can arrange a bus from here to the two airports, Ciampino and Fiumicino. But you must be almost 50 people, 53 people, because if you fulfill the bus, you can pay only 12 euros. To the airport. So less you are, more is the cost. But there is he can arrange this this pass only once. So almost in the morning around 7:30. And if you have your flight in the afternoon, doesn't matter. Go. Because here, you know, everything is finished. And so is to enjoy the trip with others. So please sign your name on the paper located in the same place always. So, and this is the only bus he can arrange. If you are less, you have to pay more, and maybe he cannot arrange any bus for you. If there is somebody that wants to go not with bus, but because of the hours, he wants to go by taxi, you have to form group of four people for a taxi, and the cost is 25 euro each to the airport. But don't go to Jamshid, say, I want a taxi. You have to form your own group and go and tell Jamshid the four names. Isn't clear? Yes. Okay. So...
Dear friends, this is the era of fulfillment, including for buses. You notice? I'm so happy to be able to give to you this very, very long sentence. Do you see how long it is? You know, when you write this sentence down on the page straight, it looks this long. That's how long it is. And what I've done... it's full of mistakes, I apologize, because the paper just wasn't long enough. It didn't give me the space to divide it up the way I really wanted to. So as we go through it, I may have to correct my errors. In fact, I already noticed that I'd made an error just in the capitalization of the main sentence. And I could ask you your opinion about this now that you're beginning to understand what a main sentence is. I'm not sure I should have said of integration in capital letters, because the most bare bones of the main sentence here is parallel with this process and recalling the convulsion of the process. That's basically what the core of the sentence is. So the words of integration, if we include those in the main sentence, then I should also have included in capital letters of progressive deterioration. Okay? Just bear that in mind, that these are all of somethings, are little adjectival phrases which are amplifying the noun there. And the real bare bones of this sentence is just parallel with this process has been another process, basically. Now, let's go and read this sentence together. I was thinking, by the way, that when Mr. Nashavani was speaking to us about these farewell messages of Shoghi Effendi in the last year of his life, we're going to be doing the beautiful, beautiful sentence. We're going to be studying that closely, one of the sentences in that letter that he referred to. We're going to look at that closely tomorrow. But in preparation of that extraordinary summoning, that challenge of Shoghi Effendi that we're going to go away with in our hearts, his words engraven in our souls, in order to prepare ourselves for it, I thought it would be good to have a kind of preparatory sentence leading up to it that would remind us that what we are reading here in the sentences of Shoghi Effendi, you know, is not just a collection of words, a collection of grammatical constructions. We are listening to, we're becoming acquainted with, we are learning about the music of Shoghi Effendi. He has a certain music. And when you begin to familiarize your ear with that music, you will hear it, you will recognize it, you will immediately understand what it's about. The minute you pick up one of his books, one of the collection of his messages, you begin to go through it, you hear that music rising out of the page. It's as familiar as the sound of an oboe or a cello. There's a certain plangent note that Shoghi Effendi uses. And in addition to that quality of individual instrument which rises out of his throat, there are other ways in which he makes music. There is a quality of orchestral music that you hear in the prose works of Shoghi Effendi. It's really as if you are hearing an entire orchestra. And rising out of that orchestra, and he's the maestro calling up the instruments, you hear trumpets. And in this passage that we're going to read today, really, it is orchestral. It's orchestral from many different points of view. He's not only speaking about with different voices, if you like, with different instruments. He's also giving us different information, different levels of information in this sentence. Let me read it first from beginning to end, and then we'll start to understand what this is about. Parallel with this process of progressive deterioration in human affairs, now visibly gathering momentum outside the pale of the faith of Baha'u'llah, and recalling the convulsions which, on a far more restricted scale, seized a declining empire in the opening centuries of the Christian era, far less spectacular in its manifestation, has been the process of integration, as demonstrated by the increasing cohesion, the multiplication, and the reinforcement of the foundations of the institutions of the embryonic Baha'i world order, which now, under the impact of the forces released by a world spiritual crusade, deriving its authority from the will and testament of Abdu'l-Bahá, and launched for the express purpose of executing the divine plan bequeathed by him to his followers in the evening of his life, is contributing, unnoticed by a generation forgetful of its God, and already in the shadow of his visitation, to the building up, slowly but irresistibly, of that ark of human salvation, ordained as the ultimate haven of a society destined, for the most part, to be submerged by the tidal wave of the abuses and evils which its own perversity has engendered. How many extraordinary things are happening in this sentence? I hardly know where to begin. Maybe the way to begin is to ask you to circle the words that you think, every time I come here, I seem to have more pieces of paper and less understanding of where I put what I wanted. Right. The words. Do you remember we were looking for a word or two that you think, let's just understand the vocabulary, first of all. Let's just make sure we've grasped the meanings of these words. There was already words which I didn't cover in some of the previous sentences because I didn't have time. But there is a word here that I did indicate in a previous sentence. Do you recognize it? Do you recognize that word, pale? Do you remember the word that we met in the, not yesterday's sentence, but the one before, the limits? Do you remember? When we were looking for the meaning of the word limits, I told you it meant the boundaries, the fenced-in space, the enclosed area, or the pale. That's a very curious English word, which simply means the enclosed space, the fenced-off area, that sphere of influence, which in this case is the faith of Baha'u'llah. In this, it's outside the pale. The process of progressive deterioration. Do you notice how he uses process just before progress? Progressive, sorry. Process of progressive. And it's progressive, not going up, but going down. A process of progressive deterioration. I have tried in drawing up this sentence to actually show you on the page the shape of that disintegrating line. If I'd had enough space after has been the process of integration, as demonstrated by, would be here. And I would be rising up so that you'd see the process of disintegration, the process of integration. The only way I could show it to you was to make it like rising steps there. It was very difficult on a vertical page to show you how his own words go up and down. His own words lead your mind to think in terms of deterioration and then a rising process. We've already had this rising process and this disintegrating process before in his sentences. In this one, there's something new that is going on. But let me just first get back to words before I get to the newness of those different ways of talking about his processes. What are the words now besides the word pale? Let me look and see what we've got under pale. Do you remember with limits? It's bounds, boundary, fence, field, plot, a plot of land, an enclosed space, a sphere, a domain, a demesne. That's a wonderful word. An arena. That's a word that Shoghi Effendi very often uses in relation to our activities within the Baha'i community, the development of our institutions, the expansion of our Baha'i activities. He calls it an arena of service. You know, we are here right in the heart of a civilization which introduced us to the meaning of arena. In the great games of the Roman Empire, we had that arena in which later on in its decadence we watched our gladiators perform their violent arts. But it had originally a meaning of showing your skill, doing those very things that Mr. Nashavani was encouraging us to imagine in relation to the word vai, competing with our own strengths to show the degree to which we can break our own limitations within a limited field. So the word pale there is the sphere of the faith of Baha'u'llah. And this process of progressive deterioration in human affairs is outside the pale of the faith of Baha'u'llah. It's outside in our society around us. And you notice what he is saying is quite important there. He uses the word now. Please circle that word now. It's quite important because it tells us about time, and we know very well that Shoghi Effendi is speaking often about time. This is a coinciding now. It's a moment in time at this very minute that he's writing, and we need to remember it when we come to that word again, lower down in the same sentence. The other word, which is quite important, and I've put slashes there. I've put slashes for rhythm. I've put slashes to help divide each word from each other almost visibly so that we can see them and think about each one of those words. Now, visibly. Now, that's a very important word. I just started off by saying Shoghi Effendi had music. Shoghi Effendi was also giving us images continuously. I tell you, in some of his writings, you realize that anything you've ever seen in a blockbuster Hollywood movie is absolutely boring compared to what he's giving you on the mental screen of your imagination. He is giving you a sweeping landscape of convulsions and movement. You know those huge scenes in Lord of the Rings where you see, you know, 10,000 creatures rising up and collapsing and, you know, towers falling. And this is Shoghi. Listen to this. Listen to this. You open the first page of A Promised Day Has Come and look what meets your eye visibly. A tempest, he says. Unprecedented in its violence, unpredictable in its course, catastrophic in its immediate consequences, unimaginably glorious in its ultimate consequences, is at present sweeping the face of the earth. Its driving power is remorselessly gaining in range and momentum. Notice that word comes here again. The momentum which is being gathered in the deteriorating process. Its cleansing force, however much undetected, is increasing with every passing day. Humanity, gripped in the clutches of its devastating power, is smitten. That means blown. Blows coming to your head. Smitten by the evidences of its resistless fury. It can neither, that is we, humanity, it can neither perceive its origin, nor probe its significance, nor discern its outcome. Bewildered, agonized, and helpless, it watches this great and mighty wind of God invading the remotest and fairest regions of the earth, rocking its foundations, deranging its equilibrium, sundering its nations, disrupting the homes of its peoples, wasting its cities, driving into exile its kings, pulling down its bulwarks, uprooting its institutions, dimming its light, and harrowing up the souls of its inhabitants. Visibly, do you see what he has shown us there? This is the progressive deterioration in human affairs, which is visibly gathering momentum outside the pale of the faith of Baha'u'llah. It's not the only place where you find Shoghi Effendi using those images, those overwhelming, spectacular images of an orchestrated chaos. He does it again here in Messages of the Baha'i World, page 101. Do you remember this magnificent sentence which begins, "The violent derangement of the world's equilibrium," semicolon, "the trembling that will seize the limbs of mankind," semicolon, "radical transformation of human society, the rolling up of the present day order, the fundamental changes affecting the structure of the government, the weakening of the pillars of religion, the rise of dictatorships, the spread of tyranny, the fall of monarchies, the decline of ecclesiastical institutions, the increase of anarchy and chaos, the extension and consolidation of the movement of the left." This is all one sentence. "The fanning of the into flame of the smoldering fires of religious strife, the development of the infernal engines of war, the burning of cities, the contamination of the atmosphere of the earth, these stand out as the signs and portents that must either herald or accompany the retributive calamity which, as decreed by him who is the judge and redeemer of mankind, must, sooner or later, afflict a society which, for the most part and for over a century, has turned a deaf ear to the voice of God's messenger in this day. I'm still in the same sentence. A calamity which must purge the human race of the dross of its age-long corruptions and weld its component parts into a firmly knit world framework and to be world-embracing fellowship, a fellowship destined in the fullness of time to be incorporated in the framework and to be galvanized by the spiritualizing influences of a mysteriously expanding, divinely ordained order, and to flower in the course of future dispensations into a civilization the like of which mankind has at no stage in its evolution witnessed. Count yourselves lucky I didn't give you that sentence. One sentence. Go take a look at it in Messages of the to the Baha'i World, page 103. See how he starts from where we are in the midst of the greatest chaos imaginable and takes us right out from our chaos to the golden age in one sentence. Now, I wanted to just read those two so that we can understand simply the word visibly. So that we can see that Shoghi Effendi is asking us to envisage clearly the exact circumstances. You are young, but you already in your short lives have seen some of this chaos. You have witnessed it for yourselves, the disintegration process that we have spoken about so often. Don't get fooled into quick, cheap shortcuts of this thing that's going down is serious business. This is a real, real image we're seeing here. We have to feel it, we have to see it, as well as hear its music, gathering momentum outside the pale of the faith of Baha'u'llah. Now, we've recalled that, we've understood that, we've seen it. Now he says, and recalling. Now, what does that word recall mean? It means remembering, calling to mind, reminding ourselves of something. I want you to look at the word parallel and the word recall. What do you notice? Even those of you who speak very little English at all, on the most basic level, what do you notice about the word parallel and recall? Double L. Thank you. Double L. You know, I always felt cheated because I didn't feel that somehow English was calligraphic enough. I thought, what a pity. We have the manifestation of God for this day writing in this magnificent language of Persian and Arabic, which becomes an artwork. Just the shape of it. Look at that magnificent work on the wall there. The whole of the Kitab-i-Iran written out there. Have you looked at that? We have enshrined on our walls, in our hearts, the greatest name, which the great calligrapher of this dispensation, Meshkin Qalam, had written and had approved by Baha'u'llah himself. What a beautiful quality of calligraphy we have implicit in this faith, because of the languages. And I used to think, oh, what a pity that English isn't more calligraphic. I used to think, well, you know, it's fine with the Gutenberg printed version of the Gothic script. You know, we've got that kind of calligraphy. But sort of compared to Persian and Arabic calligraphy, it's a little sort of, you know, it doesn't sort of, you know, Persian and Arabic calligraphy dances. It flies on the page. It's a ballet. It's a ballet of words. I used to say to myself, what a pity, you know, what a pity that we can't write English like that. And then I realized, my goodness, Shoghi Effendi has taken this language, which to all intents and purposes on the surface of it doesn't appear to be so very calligraphic, but yet he has created another kind of calligraphy with it. This is why I wrote the sentence in these forms. The whole phrase rises. The whole phrase falls. He creates parallels in ideas and in sounds, so that just as in Persian calligraphy you get these magnificent sweeps of the pen, so too in Shoghi Effendi's prose you get sweeping words that seem to echo and follow each other and build up and rise and fall. And in a particular case, sometimes, such as in these two words, parallel and recall, he even uses literally two letters which are there in both words to indicate something very profound indeed. It isn't just that he's given us two L's, you know. LL. He's saying that there are two processes that are also parallel. And he's saying that this one process, which we begin with, the process of progressive deterioration, is itself paralleled by a previous recall convulsion. So it's not only paralleling in a way the rising and falling of our civilization is not only a parallel process, but it is being paralleled by a previous process of disintegration, a previous process of integration. If you recall to mind, he says, the history of the past, because what is it we're recalling here? We're recalling the convulsions, which on a far more restricted scale, we get the echo loud here. I mean, sorry, we get the sound of the catastrophe and the deterioration right in our ears. But if we lean back to history, we can hear the faint echo of a previous catastrophe, which in turn was much less extreme because the empire was much less that was being built. The Christian era was much less spectacular. Let's try to understand what that whole phrase is. The convulsions which, on a far more restricted scale, restricted means limited, less spectacular, on a far more restricted scale, seized a declining empire. You all know which that one was, don't you? What was the previous declining empire which was beginning to collapse and deteriorate at the time of the opening centuries of the Christian era? Roman. So you all know he's talking about the decline and fall of the Roman Empire, and he had Gibbon's book right beside him for his magnificent periods. On a far more restricted scale, seized a declining empire in the opening centuries of the Christian era. This is the Baha'i era. That was the Christian era. And the Christian era, he says to us, far less spectacular in its manifestations. The convulsions that seized the collapse of Rome were much more restricted because the era that was giving the process of integration at that time was also far less spectacular. But you see the parallel. What happened to Rome and what happened with the emerging civilization of the Christian era was the precursor of what is happening today. And he wants to remind us of that, of this parallel with our own times. And he does it with two L's. Isn't that something? If you think a little bit about those two words, you go actually from the simple syllables of la 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 all the way to an archetype in human history. You know, I was saying at the end of yesterday's sentence that he gives us ways of measuring time, among the many other things he does in a single sentence. And I also said he gives us glimpses of human history. Do you see that before we've even reached the verb in this sentence, has been, we've already been given two of those aspects of Shoghi Effendi's interpretation, one of time and the other of history itself. And he's given us an archetype in that process. He's told us that the collapse of a previous empire and the rising up of a previous religious era is parallel to the one that we're experiencing today. He's shown us an archetype in time, okay? Parallel with this process of progressive deterioration in human affairs, now visibly gathering momentum outside the pale of the faith of Baha'u'llah, and recalling the convulsions. Now, I put a circle around the word convulsions, because I thought that might be an interesting one for you to think about. Convulsions. Did anybody also wonder what that word meant? Besides the word pale, I thought we could think about convulsions. And I found the following words, which we might just think about the meaning of it for a minute. Convulsion. A convulsion is not a steady process of disintegration. A convulsion is a fit, a fall, symptoms, seizures, spasms, frenzies, outbursts, upheavals, revolutions. It's a fluctuating thing. It seems to get worse and worse and worse and worse, but it doesn't just sort of steadily do the same thing all the time. And you notice how those words throw you around. You know, when you're in the grips of a fit, the way I appear to be standing up here, it looks as if I'm totally out of control. I'm possessed. People used to think epileptics were possessed of evil spirits because they were suffering from seizures. Their body was in spasm. They seemed to be totally out of control. It's as if you are possessed by some other force. That's what a convulsion is. It's something out of your control, okay? And it throws you, as I say, about. It even indicates, because, again, I'm thinking of epilepsy and the convulsions that occur, you know, through the entire human frame. It throws you. You fall. A convulsion is a form of, you know, collapsing. It's also the sign of something else. You look on the convulsion, which is on the outside. You see the evidence of something deep that's going on, something internal that's taking place. This is merely a symptom of what is going on underneath. And so on and so forth. So much for convulsions. But I want you to just put a little question mark on that word convulsion, because when we first meet it, as we're reading through this sentence, we think initially that it's just speaking about the deterioration in human affairs. But I'd want you to just notice that it's not only parallel recalling that is connected. There is that word and. Now, and is a conjunction, of course, which is sometimes used to say this and that. That means both of them are sort of similar. But in this case, I would suggest that there is an element of progression or difference. It's parallel with this process and recalling the convulsions. So it's something else that's going on here with the convulsions. We'll get to an understanding of that lower down, if you'll just bear with me. Just ask yourselves to bear that in mind. What is the convulsions referring to? Is it just the progressive deterioration, which is a convulsion? Or does the word itself, convulsion, contain a sort of ambiguity that it's not only deterioration in a convulsion? We'll get to that in a minute. All right, are you with me so far? We've come to far less spectacular in its manifestations. Now we are finally back. We've come to that main phrase again, recalling, parallel with this process, and recalling the convulsions of another event which is parallel to it, which is a previous echo of this same process, has been the process of integration. So far, so good. We've heard that before. We're on safe ground. We know it's about this, right? So now we're onto the upward line. we take away our eyes from that chaos of tempests and convulsions and blockbuster Hollywood movies, and we move into has been the process of integration, as demonstrated by, now look at his rising words. This is where I found myself thinking of calligraphy. As demonstrated by the increasing cohesion, the multiplication, and the reinforcement of the foundations, of the institutions, of the embryonic... I've put Baha'i world order in three words across the page for the simple reason that when I was reading this and I was hearing that momentum building up of the process of integration through all those words, cohesion, multiplication, foundations of the institutions, I knew that Shoghi Effendi was getting me ready for something really important. Yesterday, you know, I told you to listen for the drum beat. You know, it's getting ready, it's building up, crescendo, 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 ta-da! Right? Baha'i world! It's a trumpet. The timpani has been doing this. And suddenly, you get this incredible sound coming from the back of the orchestra, right? They always put the brass at the back of the orchestra. Baha'i world order. How can you not see those words like sounds, like trumpet calls, like summonings? And he doesn't let you get away with it, just in case you missed the point, you know, just in case you didn't hear the drum roll. And you were going, as demonstrated by the increasing cohesion, the multiplication, the reinforcement of the foundations of the institutions of the embryonic Baha'i world order. Just in case you happen to read it like that. He says, which, just so you'll be absolutely double sure, which, under the impact, now he's not even going to wait for a drum roll. What is it in the orchestra that has impact? You remember those brass cymbals? Under the impact! Wake up! You didn't get it with Baha'i World Order? All right, I'll give it to you again. The forces released by a world spiritual crusade. Did you hear it this time? We can't really be deaf, can we? We could be deafened by him, but we can't be deaf when we listen to his words. Those three words, Baha'i, world crusade, sorry, world order, and world spiritual crusade, I think are destined in this sentence to echo each other like trumpet calls, okay? So that we'll see the relationship between them. We'll understand that the Baha'i world order is being built through the world spiritual crusade. It isn't just an idle parallel, word again, parallel. This is a sentence about parallel processes. It's about the paralleling of words so that you'll hear Baha'i, look down, world. World, look down, spiritual. Order, a spiritual order. Look down. How do we do it? Through this crusade. He's asking your eye and your ear to become attuned. That is, of course, what happens in any act of language, which is written and at the same time heard through the inner ear. You're marrying the eye and the ear. That's the power of the language process. That's why it's such a privilege that we've been given Shoghi Effendi at a time of disintegrating language. I have to just tell you how overjoyed I am each time one of you has the courage to stand up and read from your own magnificent mother tongues. Thank you 1,000 times for bringing to Akuto the music of Portugal and Estonia, the music of Spain and Italy, bringing it all together in this one magnificent orchestra that we have here. so that we can hear the words and the music of Shoghi Effendi speaking to us in English, and we know at the same time how much he treasured your languages. How each time, look how Mr. Nakhchivani was telling us in his statistics, he identified each language as one of the goals. How each time one of the works of the faith was translated in one of your languages, with such pride he received the notice of it. And when you're pilgrims and you go to the mansion of Bhatti, you will see for yourselves how he ranged the books of Baha'u'llah and the New Era, for example, in all its different languages, up on those shelves, just for the sheer beauty of seeing with his eye and hearing with his inner ear the different languages of the world responding to the call of Baha'u'llah. So I think part of what we're doing in Akuto is understanding, maybe for the first time, just getting a glimpse of what Shoghi Effendi's language, his immortal English, is about, and beginning to understand how important it is for each one of us to treasure and value and use, in the same way that Shoghi Effendi uses English, use our own mother tongues. That's just a little digression, because I'm onto a trip to try and make the culture night of Akuto really cultural. Raise the quality of that culture, that world civilization that we're heading for can begin even right here with our languages. This is a little digression. Excuse me for going off on the trip there. So, as demonstrated by, we've come to those three clarion calls, Baha'i world order, and he gives us the symbol of the impact, and he brings us to a world spiritual crusade. A world spiritual crusade. Now he's going to tell us about it. So far, he's given us an analysis of history with all our archetypes set up with the Christian era and the collapse of the Roman Empire. He's given us a vision of time with that disintegrating process and the integrative process which we've seen. And it's not just a nice little safe line on the page this time, friends. It's a blockbuster movie. We're seeing the whole thing visibly gathering momentum. And now he's going to do something else in this sentence. Just in case you thought that he'd done enough already in one sentence, look what he's going to do after he tells us about a world spiritual crusade. He now gives us a long qualifying clause here, deriving its authority, starting there. Wait a minute, there's something I had written here which I wanted to just make sure I followed. Yeah. Which now, you notice I put it in italics. I put it in italics because this is something which is parallel to a previous something that happened. And it's taking us back to that word now. Do you remember the very first now that you met? If we are to look and understand which now, etc., 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 is contributing, I'm only reading the words in italics, which now is contributing to the building up of that arc of human salvation. What Shoghi Effendi puts at the end of this sentence is an adverbial clause, that's qualifying the process that we just read about, the process of integration. It's a process of integration which now is contributing to the building up. Okay, sorry, I beg your pardon. It's the crusade which now is contributing to the building up of that arc of human salvation. And the reason I wanted to emphasize the fact that it was an adverbial clause was because the previous now that he gave us, go up to the top, now visibly gathering momentum outside the pale of the faith of Baha'u'llah, that is an adverbial phrase which was qualifying that process, the first process, okay? The first process of progressive deterioration is qualified, that is, it's amplified, it's explained, it's illustrated by this phrase. Now, we call it a phrase in English because it only contains half a verb. It's containing the present participle, the gathering If you wanted to make it a clause, you would add the words, which is. It was a process which is now visibly gathering momentum. Shoghi Effendi doesn't do that. He puts the word now first. Now visibly gathering momentum. And he makes it just a phrase. And in terms of grammar, in terms of the comparative weight of different parts of the sentence, a phrase is less weighty, syntactically speaking, than a clause, simply because a clause contains a living verb, an active verb. And when you go back down to that second now, you realize that he adds the which is preparing you, which now. And do you notice that the word now has got two commas, one on each side of it, which now, okay? A comma is to give you breath. A comma is a phase in one of those cycles of time, which now is contributing to the building up of that arc of human salvation. Now, I've jumped, haven't I? And I've left out all kinds of things. I want you to put parentheses around what I've left out. What's really going on here is which now, in parentheses, put number one, under the impact of the forces released by a world spiritual crusade, deriving its authority from the will and testament of Abdu'l-Bahá, and launched for the express purpose of executing the divine plan bequeathed by him to his followers in the evening of his life, all of that, put it in brackets. Which now, all of that in brackets, is contributing, put a new bracket, and put number two, which is contributing, in brackets, unnoticed by a generation forgetful of its God, and already under the shadow of his visitation, end bracket. Put a little two there, and we'll understand it in a minute. To the building up of that arc of human salvation. Sorry, I've missed slowly, but irresistibly. Put another little brackets around those two words. And then finally, ordained as the ultimate haven of a society destined for the most part. Now, we could divide that last section into several parentheses, and indeed the first one that I mentioned, which goes all the way from under the impact of the forces released by. All of this can be subdivided and subdivided, but there really is no time, friends, so I beg your pardon that I can't do all your homework for you. But as you go on playing with this, yes, 20 past, right? Yes, I have to hurry. Deriving its authority. What I want to just concentrate on for a minute is that when we get to World Spiritual Crusade, we enter into that little second paragraph, second parenthesis section. What is going on there? What is Shoghi Effendi putting in that second parenthesis that we've created? Deriving its authority from the will and testament of Abdu'l-Bahá. That's the first part of it. Now, he's telling us more about the crusade there. It's a world spiritual crusade which he is telling us derives its authority from the will and testament of Abdu'l-Bahá. Now, just in case I didn't understand that correctly, I double-checked that with Mr. Nashavani in the break. So you know that it has the rabbi's stamp of approval on it. Because I was amazed by that. I said to myself, I mean, from a literal superficial reading, I thought to myself, what? Does that mean that the 10-year crusade, if you go into the pages of the Will and Testament of Abdu'l-Bahá, you turn the pages, did Abdu'l-Bahá speak about the crusade? Is that what he's saying? From a superficial reading, I thought that's what it meant, but I couldn't understand in what way Shoghi Effendi was implying that. How did the Will and Testament of Abdu'l-Bahá refer to the World Spiritual Crusade? Shoghi Effendi is using that word, deriving its authority from. Okay? And I want you to remember that word author, authorize, authenticate. It's a line of power, and power as defined in the Baha'i teachings. The reason this world spiritual crusade has its power is because the will and testament of Abdu'l-Bahá created institutions and authorized a guardian to give us that. The institutions implied and implicit in the will and testament are what are carrying out the goals of the World Crusade. In that sense, it's in the will and testament. Do you see? It's implicit in the will and testament. The crusade itself, because it is being conducted through institutions, everything that Mr. Nachevani has been telling us this morning has been about the cohesion. Do you notice that word comes back from on top? The cohesion, the multiplication, the reinforcement of the foundations of the institutions of the embryonic world order. That's what these maps are about. That's why he took those 12 and increased them until after the multiplication and the cohesion, we found ourselves looking at 28 of them. This is what is carrying out the World Crusade. These are the means by which the goals are going to be won. And this is these institutions and the hands with them derive their authority from the will and testament of Abdu'l-Bahá. And Shoghi Effendi, in that little tiny part of the sentence, is not only then giving us a vision of time, not only just giving us a vision of archetypes in history, not only just giving us the sheer beauty of vision that we have the blockbuster movie, plus music, which is the calligraphy of sounds, but also he's giving us cardinal principles of Baha'i doctrine. That's what I was talking about in the sentence yesterday. And there is a distinction, you know, between Baha'i doctrines related to the covenant and the authorization through the line of succession from Baha'u'llah himself to these institutions and the House of Justice that is guiding us today, the center of our covenant. There is a difference between Baha'i doctrine and Baha'i philosophies. And there are other sentences that you will come across in the writings of Shoghi Effendi where you discover he's telling you about Baha'i philosophy. And that is, there's no time for it today, but maybe next year we'll begin to see all these different ways in which his language, his sentences, give us different aspects, different things to see, to hear, to understand, all in the pale, within the pale, within the limits of a single sentence. Just in that phrase, therefore, we're getting a glimpse of Baha'i doctrine there, the authority from the will and testament of Abdu'l-Bahá, which was launched and launched for the express purpose. He includes the tablets of the divine plan there. So he's giving us the will and testament, and he's giving us the tablets of the divine plan, two of the charters. And if you just have a little bit of patience, he's going to give you the third charter, the tablet of Carmel, in that same sentence. Because as you go down, you finally get to is contributing. You know, when you just read this sentence straight off, it's perfectly understandable that you should come to those words, is contributing, and you can say, what? What is contributing? Who is contributing? How did I get to this? In your free time, read this sentence again and see if it's not true that you get a little bit confused when you get to is contributing. If you haven't sorted out the component parts of the sentence, you won't know quite what he's saying there. You have to realize that it goes back to that adverbial clause of great significance, which begins, which now is contributing. Now, I've put the next bit of the sentence all in one. There were two reasons for this. One was there wasn't enough space. The other reason is a symbolic reason. And that is, when you've got a generation, when you've got a society, a civilization, which is simply ignoring the message of Baha'u'llah, the voice of God in this age. And we had sentences from last year, you remember, that wonderful, mysteriously, slowly and resistlessly God accomplishes his design. Do you remember the rest of the sentence? Which for a generation has been not listening to the voice of God, in other words. Whenever you have a civilization that ignores the voice of God, its language becomes mumbo jumbo. And that's exactly what happens here. Unnoticed by a generation, forgetful of us. Our language collapses on itself. And I had to do that because there wasn't enough space. But I wanted you to see that Baha'i world order, world spiritual crusade, has as its pivot God. In the center of that muddle of noises, syllables and sounds, God. Just like in that first sentence I gave you, one and indivisible, whose source is God, whose author, small a, because it's in relation to that capital S, source, is Baha'u'llah, and so on and so forth. In the middle of that mumbo jumbo of syllables and sounds and incoherence, which is what is around us today, there is the voice of God. And at the end of that sentence, at the end of that phrase, there is that most mysterious word, his visitation. I'm most sad that I didn't have enough space on the page to put a gap there between shadow of his visitation. Now, the word visitation is another of the words, his visitation. Another of the words that I put down for us to look up. What does it mean? You know, we talk as Baha'is about visitation in terms of pilgrimage. But it has a very specific meaning here. Specific and at the same time very ambiguous. Look at the words I found for the word visitation. Presence. Omnipresence. Imminence. Accessibility. Nearness, permeation, diffusion, ubiquity, here-ness, there-ness, everywhere-ness, under the shadow of his presence, his omnipresence, his imminence. His accessibility, his nearness, under the shadow of his here-ness. He's right here with us. His everywhere-ness. It's a wonderful word. His presence, his visitation. Okay? So here we are, unnoticed. Unnoticed is this extraordinary imminence, this extraordinary mystical presence of God amongst us, which is now contributing to the building up. And this is where we get to the final extraordinary image that he gives us of that ark of human salvation. Oh, that there was time to go into the word ark. But I think you know enough. Even if you just remember that the word ark can be spelt in two ways. Now just think about that for the rest of the afternoon. Ark with a C. And the ark on Mount Carmel is an ark. And ark with a K. Which is the ark sailing on Mount Carmel. The Universal House of Justice. He has put the three charters in this sentence. Just in case you didn't notice. He has given us the reason for the worldwide spiritual crusade. Right there in that now, which coincides, the now of the disintegration is coinciding with the now that is visibly building up, is contributing, unnoticed, etc., to the building up of that ark. And you notice that the convulsions, now just to go back to that word, is not just, therefore, the process of disintegration, but the convulsions involved in the giving birth of a new world order. The convulsions that accompany the birth process. Now, many, many places in the writings of Shoghi Effendi, we get that parallel. And it looks as if it's dying. There's blood everywhere. But in fact, there's a baby being born. Shoghi Effendi uses this feminine metaphor of the female body giving birth over and over again to describe the processes at work in the world and in the faith, the emergence of these institutions that we're building up. And in this context, he's telling us specifically that the world crusade, this world spiritual crusade, is directly involved in contributing to the building up of. So you could say that this is prophetic, just as Mr. Nachavani was identifying at the end of his talk this morning, that he is indicating clearly, categorically, that through the process of achieving the goals of the 10-year crusade, we are building the foundations, those pillars that are going to sustain the dome of the Universal House of Justice. That is what is being built up in this World Spiritual Crusade. The institution that is going to be the haven, the ultimate haven, that is the place of safety of a society destined for the most part to be submerged by the tidal wave of the abuses and evils which its own perversity has engendered. I'm sorry there's no time to say any more, but thank you.
Dear friends, I'm sure, I'm aware that in this moment I am risking my friendship with Bahia. I'm serious. Because I know that I'm going to put her in a very embarrassed momentum, a situation. My God, yeah, so I risk.
Really?
So, no, I have a reason. I thought if I have, I can do it. But at the end, I realized that to love somebody, it means also to accept how she or they want to show their love. So please. So.
Where's
Noah?
Come and help me?
No. So please. Yeah. So please forgive us, but accept. How we want to show our love. Do you remember last year? We know that today is your birthday.
Oh, no.
Yeah! Mommy! What? She's strong!
The disintegrating process.
Okay. Please, Mark, can you come here? Yes.
Happy birthday.
Thank you so much. Card.
Sentence is so long it could be from Shoghi Effendi. Inspired by such fast and intense words, fell in love with the necessity of going deeper and asking from ourselves more and more, touched in our very deep feelings and wills, all the participants of 2005 Akuto study course are really happy to share with you the most sincere and grateful love for your birthday, hoping that you are happy to spend it with all of us as we are happy to spend it with you.
Now you can sit down, and we have the last gift for her. So please, if each of you from here, you can stand up and say happy birthday in your own language.
Every single one of them?
Yes, in all their language.
Maybe just 34 times is already too many, but we don't have everybody's. It's going to be
okay.
Maybe they can tell me in the lunch.
No. The 36. Only the 36
maybe
languages.
They don't have to do it in public, huh?
The 36 languages.
I'm not going to come back to Akuto next year.
Yeah.
Thank you. So then nobody.